Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another evening of Establishing Your Faith. Pastor is with us from the seat of his semi. He just had to run into a building real quick and get his weights and whatever, and he will be with us here shortly. But thank you for being with us. We're so happy to have you all with us. We're going to have a really good message tonight. It is called Just Go Ahead and Forget It. We're going to play a little bit of a video by Bill Johnson. It's an excellent, excellent message. And welcome you two. We're so happy to have you with us too. And I will tell you too, Pastor is with us. At the moment, he's in a different building, but he is already connected with us and will be with us throughout the night. Thank you for all bearing with me while I finish getting us set up here. Hope you all had a beautiful day. We had a gorgeous day here in North Dakota. It actually got up to like 22 degrees today and was sunshiny, and the 60-mile-an-hour wind seemed to subside for a bit, so that's always really nice when that happens. Just got one more quick share to do here. Our message tonight is going to be Go Ahead and Forget It. Speaking of the things of the past and the importance of letting those things go, because the enemy's big plan is to keep us stuck in guilt and in condemnation and even shame, if he can, to the point that you can't move forward into the things God has for you to be doing. And sometimes it's hard for us to get past those things. So that's what tonight's message is going to be about. We're going to watch a little bit of a video from Bill Johnson teaching on that. But we're going to start out with our Pledge of Allegiance and doing our community. Wow, that was quick. Hallelujah.
Welcome to all of you that missed the rapture, and you're now saying, what do I do now? When you say that, like...
Yeah, what?
Don't say that. Don't say that. Wait, that's how serious.
Yeah. Amen. And you should want to. It's a beautiful life.
Yes. 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 Not you got to, or I'll come looking for you. It's like, you don't realize it. There is a rapture coming. And you could miss it. And you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss that, no.
You know? Anyways, thank God for his wonderful love and mercy. You know, time is I'm still here. I'm still here. You can still repent. So, and if you miss it, well, repent quickly. Repent quickly. All right, go ahead, love, wherever you're at. There goes my list, and I'll be on the road.
Okay, so we're going to start. We're going to start out with our Pledge of Allegiance, Pledges of Allegiance. So let's rise and give honor. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now our pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. And our community of faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And let's also do the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, and now I'm going to set up to watch this video of Bill Johnson, or now, at least part of it. Yeah, go ahead.
While she's doing that, I'll make a few statements. Can you hear me?
Yes, yep.
I think that probably a copyrighted video, but I think we probably have the permission to copy it because that's how Bill Johnson is.
Yeah.
Even though the copyright is there so people don't use it improperly. But if all of a sudden on YouTube it were to disappear, we want you to know that we will be back on here and make some kind of statement, you know.
Yeah.
So we know.
Sister and, Sunday is on YouTube. So Sunday, if it does go out, can you please come to Zoom and let us know?
Yeah, let us know because that way we can come back on now.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. I want to teach the message. self. Somehow the Holy Spirit would have me to say it. However, this is a very powerful word that he is speaking right here. And I encourage you. There's a lot of course with every one of God's spiritual science. There's a lot of I use a military term. Which is a term of anti-aircraft fire that comes from the earth to destroy the aircraft that are flying over. And tracers and everything. And so what does it mean, Pastor? There's a lot of people that are
term of,
against God's great leaders. And just like Jesus had to suffer that, these men and women of God have to suffer it too. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so, no matter what you might have heard about Bill Johnson, there ain't nobody that I've ever met that loved Jesus more than this man.
Yeah, amen.
It doesn't take too much time to realize this man is in love with our Jesus and the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. But he doesn't want that to be that person at the end that Jesus looks at and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And this message tonight, the whole message is about joy. Excerpt we're going to be talking about is forgetting the things which are behind. Now, one preacher messed that statement up trying to quote the Apostle Paul and said, "Forget your behind." Another person said, "I can't, it's so big." He said, "See, that's the problem with most people's past. It's so big, they can't forget it."
Oh, yeah.
And, well, that's enough of that. I won't go any farther about that. Let's just go ahead and play the video. It's going to last for about 10 minutes. Somewhere in the hell gets this man fed up. That's good enough. But here we go. Let's talk about joy. But what we're going to hear him say is dealing with the past. There we go.
For some reason, I'm not having volume here.
Okay. Pausing for a minute. Make sure the volume's up on your speaker.
Yeah, here we go.
It may be a health condition. It may be you lose job after job after job. It could be any number of things, but there it is right in front of you. And the instruction in Scripture is to shout with extreme celebration before the answer comes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Nice to see you. I was looking at a video clip this morning of our global response relief team that were over in Trinity County helping with the homes that were burnt down. They're sifting through the ash to find any valuables that might be left for the homeowners. And so we don't talk a lot about it, but we have great teams of people that have been helping with the hurricanes and relief efforts there and in the fires. And how many of our global response team members are in the room right now? Let's put a hand up to see. Why don't you stand up so we can see who you are. Yeah, step. See. Yeah, blessings there. Thanks for serving. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Yeah, it's just fun. It's fun to, you know, a lot of folks are out there just trying to find who to blame, you know, and the people of faith just become part of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You just become people of hope, vision, and serve in practical ways to help people. So I appreciate all of you that helped with that. This is signs and headlines. Toilet out of order. Please use floor below. I'm pretty sure I know what they meant, but automatic washing machines. Please remove all your clothes when the light goes out. In a London department store, bargain basement upstairs. Outside a secondhand shop, we exchange anything, bicycles, washing machines, etc. Why not bring your wife along and get a wonderful bargain? That's just bad. Notice on a farmer's field, it says the farmer allows walkers to cross the field for free, but the bull charges. On a repair shop, we can repair anything. Please knock hard on the door. The bell doesn't work. Headlines in newspapers. Something went wrong in jet crash. Probably so. Miners refuse to work after death. Sluggards. Cold wave linked to temperatures. Man struck by lightning faces battery charge. Hospitals are sued by 7-foot doctors. Tall doctors, very tall doctors. And the winner is typhoon rips through cemetery, hundreds dead. You open your Bibles to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Last week I talked about joy. I'm going to do the same this week. Let's just do joy again. How many of you were here last week? How many of you weren't here last week? How many of you don't know where you were last week? Last week, We took a look at a great passage of scripture in Nehemiah 8, which actually gives reason to joy, biblical reason to rejoice before everything is fixed in our internal world. It's like God's standard was here, our standard is here, but once we understand what he wants, that's the beginning place for rejoicing. And so it's a fascinating concept. And that's the chapter where we see that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So our personal strength is in life is actually equal to our joy. Will not be any stronger than our joy. Will not be any stronger than our joy. It won't be any stronger than our joy. That's actually true. That's our place of strength. Today we're going to look at a chapter that Isaiah 54, believe it or not, actually follows chapter 53. Just want to make sure everybody's awake. Chapter 53 is the great chapter that talks about how we are healed. For example, it says that he bore our pain and our sickness, our sorrows, our griefs. But the Hebrew words are pain and sickness. So he actually bore them to the cross and redemptively purchased our right to be healed, divine health, but not just in the natural, in the spiritual, the forgiveness of sin. So it's that chapter that sets up this chapter. So beginning with verse 1 of Isaiah 54, we're going to read several verses, so please just follow along. Verse 1, sing, O barren, you who have not borne,
break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, and you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Verse 4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. Now remember, we're talking about bearing children in the first verse. Your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Jump all the way down to verse 13. All your children will be taught by the Lord. Great shall be the peace. That word peace is shalom. It's well-being, spirit, soul, and body. Great shall be the well-being of your children. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Look at that verse there again. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. It doesn't say you will be far from oppression, therefore you won't be afraid. It's saying you're not afraid, therefore you'll be far from oppression. It's important to see that because fear is the access point. What I have feared has come upon me, that statement in Scripture. Oh, yeah. Fear is the entrance point or the access point for the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Wow. He frequently enters through the open door of fear. Fear is an agreement with the accuser, the intimidator, the one who mocks. He manipulates with words. He accuses, he mocks, he intimidates. He tries to cause fear through any of these tools. And whenever I make agreement with him, I empower him. Whenever you believe the lie, you empower the liar. When you listen to, you receive the words of the accuser, then you actually come under the shame of sin as though you had actually sinned.
Wow.
Because you're making an agreement. He has no authority. You have the authority. So when I agree with him, I have lended him my authority. He has power, but he has no authority. And so when he accuses, when he brings up your past, anytime you revisit the events of the past, apart from the blood of Jesus, you subject yourself to a spirit of deception because you're visiting something that no longer exists in the condition you remember it. So it's only legal to perceive our past through the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, we visit a deception. And when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. So that's the whole deal. So he says, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear. Because you don't fear, oppression can't attach itself to you. Now, when you read through this whole chapter, he goes on and he says, listen, if you're under attack, if anyone assails you, the Lord says, it's not me. And I just love that statement. In other words, he's not saying you'll never come under fire. He's not saying you'll never have a conflict. He's just saying, listen, it's not me. That should be good news.
Yeah.
And then he says, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Your inheritance is the authority to condemn the voices of darkness that accuse you. That's part of your inheritance. So if you can follow this train of thought, it talks about those who can't have children. He's referring to the nation of Israel to the body of Christ. But anytime they use a natural principle or natural condition to illustrate a spiritual truth, it has to work in the natural too. Anytime Jesus uses a natural illustration, it has to be true in the natural before
it can represent a spiritual reality. So sometimes we want to get to the spiritual truth before we've learned the natural impact.
Yeah.
And our hunger for spiritual things is appropriate and right. We should want the breakthrough there. But sometimes, I remember one specific situation here years ago, the Lord would not allow me to spiritualize a particular truth for a season. I had to walk it through in the natural and fully realize the implications on the natural before I was allowed, if you will, to take it to where God intended. Because I had to be fully convinced that this was authentic and genuine in the natural. It's a weird one, but it was the whole I want my knife back story, which I shared a testimony with you a few weeks ago. It's the whole, if you weren't here, it's just this unusual Sunday where we prayed into God restoring things that had been broken, lost, stolen, whatever. It's just a very strange day, but it was the more miracles from that one awkward message than maybe any 10 I've spoken at any time in my life. It was strange. I just shared with you a couple of weeks ago, but realizing we have so much rotation. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was in New Zealand, and a pastor friend came to me. He says, Billy, he says, let me tell you a story. He says, a young lady in our church, her house was broken into. Somebody stole her computer, stole her iPod, stole a bunch of stuff. And when it was gone, she remembered your message. I want my knife back. And she just declared, God, I want my computer back. I want my iPod, you know, I want my dog back. Whatever, anything that was taken, I want my stuff back, you know. And I think it was 2 weeks later, she gets a phone call. And the guy on the other end of the phone says, hi, I'm the guy that stole your stuff. I stole your computer, your iPod, and everything. And I would like to set up an appointment to return it to you. So she makes an agreement with the guy to meet at a coffee shop. They sit down at the coffee shop, and the guy gives her this story. He said, on your iPod is a sermon called I Want My Knife Back. I listened to it and realized I need to give you your stuff back. Is that bizarre or what? She then led him to Christ. He got saved in the coffee shop. Such a bizarre story. But that season, he wouldn't allow me, honestly, to spiritualize it too quickly, because sometimes you have to experience things in the natural that convinces you of what he is like, so that when you start seeing the real application, the harvest of souls, the transformation of cities, when you start seeing that stuff that gets opposed, you have confidence because you've seen his nature displayed in natural things.
Yeah.
And that's what we have right here. We have Shout for Joy Barron. Notice, if you can picture a woman here, let's just say she's been having children every year for 10 years. She has another one every year, 10 years. And then you got one right next to her, been married just as long, has had no children. And what this verse is saying, a New American Standard says it a little better than this translation. It says, shout for joy, barren one, you who have borne no child. Cry aloud, you who have not travailed. And here's the statement. For the sons of the desolate woman will become more numerous than the one that's been having a child every year for 10 years. And then it says, you'll inhabit desolate cities and obtain nations. So obviously the Lord is talking about more than natural childbirth, although it has to include that for it to work in this prophetic message that he's releasing. So here's the deal. We've got a woman here who chooses to celebrate before she's pregnant. Everybody in this room has areas of fruitfulness, and every one of us have areas of barrenness. Every one of us have things that just, they haven't worked like we've prayed, like we've planned, like we've anticipated. We have great testimonies. We have extraordinary things that God has done. But we all have experiences in barrenness as well. And here he's saying, shout for joy. And then he says, cry aloud. That word cry is actually the word scream. So we're talking about deliberate, extreme expressions of joy. It's not a scream of pain or fear or terror. It's a scream of anticipation. Now, how many believe this is true? All right. So this is what it says. It says, shout for joy while you can't have kids. Face the thing that you have the least breakthrough in, the most barren area. It may be the salvation of your family members. It may be a health condition. It may be you lose job after job after job. It could be any number of things, but there it is right in front of you. And the instruction in Scripture is to shout with extreme celebration before the answer comes. Now, some would say, well, that's not reasonable. It isn't reasonable from human perspective. It's totally logical and intellectual from God's perspective. It's the intelligent response when you see the promise and the eyes of the promise giver, the one who has never lied, the one who has no respect of persons, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you see that, then it's the perfectly intelligent thing to do. Because from the one who gave you the promise, he lives in eternity, and in his sight, it is already completed. So when he gives us a promise, he goes into our future and he brings back the word that is necessary to get us where he saw us. So he brings us the word that actually enables us to enter the very realm that he intends for us. So it's the intelligent thing to do, to get happy before you need to. You know, it's okay, that's all right. So he says, all right, don't just give emotional expression. I believe emotional expression is vital. In fact, in this case, the emotional expression is the clearest evidence of faith in this chapter. To try to do the Christian life without emotion and emotional involvement, if emotional expression, is to void the nature of the gospel. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Two of those are felt realities. Now, it's true that throughout history, there have been those who have embraced personal experience above Scripture and have ended up denying Scripture. That is obviously a danger. It's equally dangerous to approach the Scripture on an intellectual basis and to have no personal emotional involvement or relationship. When I got married to my wonderful wife, I did not get married so that I could have a marriage license. Believe it or not, I didn't get married so that the state of California would consider me a married individual. I got married because I was partnering with someone for a lifelong journey together, relationally, before God. That was my purpose. When we came to Christ, it was not to have fire insurance to escape hell. It was an ongoing relationship with our Maker, who, according to the Scripture, becomes our husband that makes fruitfulness in our area of greatest barrenness even possible. You may not like the illustration, but he's trying to show you, listen, this is how near I am to you. I become one with you so that you become fruitful in your area of greatest barrenness. And because of that, you have reason to joy. So he says, not only should there be emotional response before you see the answer, he says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs. What he's saying is, listen, if you want a child and you have a one-bedroom home, add a bedroom. Add a bedroom before you're pregnant. You need to create the room for God to fill it. There's a great story of Jack Coe I tried to find it this morning. I couldn't, but it goes something like this. He was going to pray for, he's one of the great healing revivalists of back in the 50s. In fact, his son, Jacko Jr., his personal friend, just talked to them again this week. But there's a story about Jacko. He was going to pray for, I think it was five people in wheelchairs. So he had set up this appointment to meet with them. And when he walked into the room, he noticed that none of them brought shoes. And so he said, come back tomorrow and I'll pray for you. But bring shoes. And so the next day he prayed for them and all five got out of the wheelchair and had shoes to walk with. The point was, is you have to anticipate what's about to happen and be ready. Add the room on. Add the room. What would it look like? See, a lot of people actually don't have time for revival.
Wow.
Because we've filled our life without God. What does it look like to create the room for God to do whatever he wants before he does whatever he wants?
Yeah,
well. So he says, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. They lived in tents. So he's just describing what it is to add the room before the child comes. Do everything you can to anticipate. What does it look like if God were to bring the increase you've asked for? Some of you have received unusual promises from the Lord about prosperity, about increase. Don't wait till it comes to figure out what to do. Get your values intact now.
Yeah, amen.
Get your values intact now. It may seem like a strange illustration to you, but Judas hung himself. There were 11 apostles. There were supposed to be 12. So they appointed a 12th one at the end of chapter 1 of Acts, at the beginning of chapter 2, in Acts, the outpouring of the Spirit came. In other words, they got the wineskin ready, and then the wine came. Get the context prepared for what God's about to do. Make deliberate choices. Demonstrate there's genuine faith there. Make deliberate choices to get ready. Two things are mentioned as our inheritance in this chapter. The first one that I'll mention is verse 17. The ability to condemn the voices of darkness that oppose us. That's part of our inheritance. But the other part of our inheritance is in verse 3. It says, you'll expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Has anyone ever looked online to see some of the pictures in China? They've anticipated great growth in certain areas of their nation, and they've built entire cities, skyscrapers, everything, and there's hardly anybody living in them. It's a weird thing to see. They're brand new. Houses are built. The high-rises are built, and there's just hardly anybody there. The Lord is saying, that's what I'm going to fill, but I'm going to give to the people who are joyful. I'm going to give to those who know how to express faith through their emotion. They anticipate, before they see any sign of breakthrough, they already are anticipating, preparing the ground. It's those people I'm going to give the nations to, and I'm going to let them fill the desolate cities.
Yeah.
There's an interesting story back in David's day, where he was so hungry for the presence of God to rest in Jerusalem. The presence of God was represented actually by what's called the Ark of the Covenant, the box where certain things were inside the box. They couldn't touch it. It's actually where the glory, the presence of the Lord rested. And David wanted so much for the glory of God to be in his city in Jerusalem that he had set the stage for them to carry the ark. And the first time they tried, they did it through human reasoning, and somebody died, and David was depressed, and they parked the Ark of the Covenant in the guy's house named Obed-Edom, and everything he touched turned to gold, you know. So they started rethinking, perhaps when in doubt, open the owner's manual, find out how we're supposed to do this. And then they found out that God doesn't put his presence on the creation of man. He only puts his presence on what he created, which is man. The shoulders of priests, not on the machines we make. not the organization. I don't care if it's Bethel Church or if it's YWAM or anything else. That's not where the presence is. The presence is on people. Always, 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 always. You can have good people in an inferior setting and they'll carry the presence in there. It's not the context that makes it powerful. So here, David says, I want the presence. So I think it was like a 7 mile, I forget now, some of these guys don't know, 7, 8, a whole bunch of miles between Obadiah's house and Jerusalem. And what David does is he takes off his kingly robes and he strips down to kind of like an undergarment for priests, a tunic. And he began to dance wildly down this street. And everywhere dancing David went, the Ark of the Covenant followed. So if you get this picture, here's a king that is just beside himself with joy, fearful joy, because the last guy that tried this died. Sober-minded joy. And he's giving this offering, celebrating before the Lord, dancing wildly before God, leaping in the air, doing this. And he does this for miles. And his wife is in the palace, and she watches him out the window of the palace. This is weird, because the Bible says all of Israel was there, but Michael, his wife, was in the palace. And it's strange how weird worship looks to those who are not in it. And some things just don't make good TV, you know what I mean? There's some things that it just doesn't make good TV. It's like you've got to be in it for it to make sense. You know, I equate revival to those geodes, those rocks that are so ugly on the outside, but on the inside, they're spectacular and beautiful. That's revival right there. On the outside, it's offensive. The inside, it's gorgeous. And so David's dancing wildly before the Lord. Michael, his wife, despises him in her heart, it says. And he comes home after this. The presence is settled in Jerusalem. The glory is present. Besides himself with joy, he comes home, and his wife has issues. David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today?" This is sarcasm on steroids. She's trying to undermine her husband big time. How glorious was the king today, uncovering himself in the eyes of his maids, the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. So David responds, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his household." Man, I do not suggest this. I do not suggest this. I'm just reading the facts. He says, "Therefore, I will play music before the Lord." And then he goes on and he says, "I will be even more undignified than this, and I'll be humble in my own eyes." And then he goes on, excuse me, the scripture, one last verse says, "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Shout for joy, barren one, and you'll be moved into a fruit-bearing cycle that will surpass those who are years ahead of you. It will actually become a supernatural fruit-bearing cycle where you surpass everyone versus Michal, the daughter of Saul, who has the capacity to bear children her entire life. She loses it by despising joy. She loses it by despising expressive worship. Worship is not something that should be contained in nice civil packages. I don't mean that we need to try to be offensive or something. It's just a non-point. The point is it's honest. The point is, as we see him for who he is, we realize who he is, and we give offerings of joy and celebration before the circumstances around us have changed. And what he's actually saying is the people that choose to live that way, they become those who change the circumstances. See, when you and I were born again, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of us and began to change us from the inside out. After we're saved, our relationships begin to improve. After we're saved, our work ethic improved.
the way we loved our neighbor, care for people around us, the way we give ourselves in practical service, how we move in generosity, all that stuff increases once the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. In other words, we live from the inside out. And Jesus put it this way, the kingdom of God is within you, which means all kingdom issues are heart issues. All issues of the kingdom are internal heart issues. And so for the believer, it's monitoring our inner world and watching how it reshapes our outer world. Now, that's why in 3 John 2, it says, may you prosper, so that's money, and be in good health, which is your physical condition. May you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So he's announcing there that your internal world will actually affect your money, your income, will affect your health. When the Bible says laughter is good medicine, it actually means, if you look it up in the original language, it actually means laughter is good medicine. It actually means here's some medicine, laugh. Well, I want it to be real. Well, laugh till it is. It's not complicated. It's so funny. People don't want the counterfeit so much that embrace depression. And so I just want it to be real. What you're in isn't real. That hole you're in, you dug that one. That's not real. That's right. So here we've got Michael who loses the ability to be fruitful and put her next to the barren woman who surpasses those who have been able to have children their entire lifetime. You've got bookends. You've got this amazing story of what fruitfulness looks like in the kingdom. Yeah, but joy isn't laughter. No, it's close. They aren't related. I think Randy Clark says it best. He says, tears are to repentance what laughter is to salvation. Tears are to repentance what laughter is to salvation. The point isn't to have a meeting where everybody laughs. The point is to have a lifestyle of joy,
amen,
of taking time, you know, just to celebrate with joy the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. It's that rich expression of faith that just says, you know, Steve Backlund tells us all the time, let's just laugh at that. Let's just laugh at that. Let's just take the biggest obstacle. Let's just laugh at it. Really, it's that that's the concept that's presented in this chapter. But it's not just saying, if you choose joy, I'll fix this problem. He's saying, if you choose joy, I will actually prepare you to inherit the nations you've asked for. It's just a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger than the physical issue that you have that you want healed. Yeah, it includes that, but it's bigger than that. It's actually about our destiny. Our destiny is to what? Do what? Disciple nations. Our destiny is to do what? To see cities transformed that represent what it looks like to be under the lordship of Jesus, live in the beauty and the bounty of his world. That's our destiny. How do you get there? Joy is a pretty integral part. It's actually celebrating with joy before the answer comes. It's actually what makes it, can I put it this way? It's what, I don't know if prove is the right word, but I'll use it. It's what proves to the Lord we are ready to disciple nations so that he gives it. You don't take nations for him. He already has the nations. Well, we're just going to take possession of the nations. No, you don't want to do that because they belong to him. That's why it says ask of him for the nations. He already has them. He's looking to entrust the the influence to culture, to values, to atmosphere of entire cities and nations, to a group of people. He's just waiting for his people to be happy enough to entrust it to him. Yeah, that is a good word. All right. I heard a guy went into his doctor and got a report. He had some sort of a terminal disease. I forget all the details now. He asked the doctor what he should do, and he said, you know, if I were you, I'd just go home and watch every funny movie you could find. You know, rent every funny movie and just watch them. And he did. I don't remember the length of time now, but it was quite a few weeks, as I recall. And by the time he was through, he didn't have that terminal disease anymore. And for some reason, people can embrace laughing at a funny movie, but not just choosing to laugh or to be joyful. And yet the Lord would not command me to do something of that nature if it were not within the reach of my will. He wouldn't say, as he does in Philippians, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. He wouldn't say rejoice unless it was actually within the reach of my will to obtain it. You would never, tell your child who has a $5 a week allowance to buy you a new car. I mean, it'd be cruel. You'd never expect that unless you were going to take them down and supply them with the resources to buy the car. The point is that you would never command them to do something of themselves that they were not capable of doing. So when the Lord tells us to rejoice and to celebrate before the answer comes, it means it's actually within the reach of our will. This is something I can actually choose to do. So joy is within reach always. Joy is the kingdom. It's at hand. It's always within reach. It's always within reach. It is always a reasonable solution for what I'm facing. So just take the most barren area of your life, whatever comes to you first, hold it in front of you. I know it's hard for some of you to actually hold something you can't see. When Brian was just a little guy, we were driving from Weaverville to Reading, and he wanted a drink of water. We didn't have any water. He said, I want water. I said, son, we're in between Weaverville and Reading. We have to wait till we get to Reading. Then I'll get you some water. Well, I want water now. So I took the cigarette lighter. I pushed the button in, and I held a pretend cup under the cigarette lighter. And when it popped out, I handed him a fake cup filled with water. He took it and threw it on the floor. So if my son can throw my fake cup of water on the floor, you can hold your biggest problem in front of you. All right. So, Father, I'm asking this week that this company of people, this family, would find joy in the most unusual places. And that together we would see the obstacles to fruitfulness cower in the face of the joy of the saints. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can throw the empty cup down now. He got water all over the car when he did that. It would be sad for me to end this meeting and not give opportunity for people to give their life to Jesus. Jesus is the only access to the Father. The Bible says Amen. That the name of Jesus is the only name given by which a person must be saved. There are not many roads. Jesus is the only way.
If you wouldn't.
All right. Were you ready to, for me to stop that, or do you want me to let it run out? He must have left again. Okay, we'll go ahead and let it finish.
It's not the only way that God was cruel in requiring him to suffer on the cross when you could get there so many other ways. And always when there's a crowd this size, there's the high probability that we have people in the room that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't know what it is to be born again. That means change from the inside out, because the Holy Spirit has come. You've been forgiven of sin, brought into the family of God, and you're changed from the inside out. And God is offering that gift to everybody in the room. And anyone that would be here saying, Bill, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave till I know I'm right with God. If that's you, then I want you to just put a hand up real fast right where you are, and I want us to be able to pray for you. Hold your hand up high, because I want to see it right back over here. Anybody else, just hold your hand up real high. Right over here is another one. Right, right there. Anyone else, just wave right over here is another one. Beautiful. Beautiful. I want everyone to stand, if you would. I saw three. There may be a fourth one over here. I want everyone to stand. Here's what I want to ask. The three of you that raised your hand, listen carefully. It's vital that you give us just a moment. We have zero interest in getting anything from you. All we want to do is serve you. And I have people that I know and trust to be able to talk with you and pray with you. Right over here to my right. Why don't you wave your hand so that people can see you? Right over here to my right are people that we know and trust that I want to talk with you and to pray with you. So this is what I'm going to ask. I want to ask ministry team, come to the front right now. And I want the three that raise your hands, come quickly right down here to these folks right in front of this banner. Come down here real quickly. If you brought them, I maybe walk with them down here. They're right over here to my right. Beautiful. Yeah, come on, celebrate. This is wonderful, wonderful news here. Right over here to my right. Bless you. Yeah, thank you.
Hallelujah. Look at all of these people come. That is just such an amazing message. Whoop. And I hope you all enjoyed it as much as we've listened to this message several times. And it's another one of those things that you get something new out of every time you listen to it. I love the joyful preparation that we should.
I am.
And so are you now. No, I was just getting ready to talk about the message.
Yeah, do that. And I want to read Isaiah 54. And now that we're going to go into rocket and minister on a little bit too. So say whatever you're going to say, and then go to Isaiah 54 and I'm loading.
Okay.
All right, I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
All right. Isaiah 54. Okay, so what I was saying was the joyful preparation. We have Pastor's been teaching on the dreams and the visions. Oh, here, let me. I always forget to turn my camera back on, so please forgive me. Pastor has been talking so much about the dreams and visions lately, and I really believe that that is part of God bringing us into... the positions that he wants to wants us to see, use our imaginations so we can be in that joyful preparation, knowing that that's where it comes from. Our imaginations are so very important. This is a funny thing. Have you ever tried to talk and look through for Bible chapters at the same time? It's like you want to stop and do the A, B, C, D, E, F, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you can't while you're talking. So anyways, I think that is just so important. And you see how God works so diligently in whatever means he needs to get us where he needs us to be. And part of it, a huge, huge part of it, is us being able to see where he wants us to be so we can do that. So that we can be in that joyful preparation, ready to receive that place of where he's taking us. He's such a good God. It is amazing the extent that he goes. Oh, here comes Brother Roger in the door. The extent that he goes to try to get us where we need to be, even when we don't know even that he's working on it. And it's just amazing. And I think that's a huge thing. We had talked about the worship teams even before battle. He has people praising and worshiping in joy before the battles are even won. As they go out to war, he sends a praise team out before the armies. And all of those things are part of that. I think when Jesus taught that we need to be as little children, and that's exactly that, too. That's a big part of that. Kids are so good at saying, we're going to Disneyland. And, oh, my gosh, they're so happy. And they start planning, what are they going to ride? What are they going to see? What are they going to wear so they can go on this water ride? And that's the position we need to be in, too. And it's just amazing. So that was, I love that part of that. The fear. Being in fear is actually being in agreement with the enemy. And you don't often realize that that's what that is, but boy, it certainly is, hearing him explain it the way it is. And that door opens us up to so many things. And Job, I always think about Job saying, that which I feared has come upon me. And that's so true. Welcome, Roger. We're so glad to have you with us. And
God's blessings to all, everybody.
God's blessings to you, too. Hope you had a great day. Were you with your grandkids today?
I was with my daughter-in-law, my son, and one of my grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were going to have a family day today. That's awesome.
I did some ministry. Ran to a Air Force lieutenant, gave her a blessing.
Oh, that's awesome. That.
And ran in. Go on.
Hmm?
And this lady was real interested in my time in heaven.
Oh.
She called her mother and her husband. I asked you about colors, and I can't describe it. Because to describe it, you would have to have the same experience, and there's no earthly word I can use to describe heavenly colors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
And I said, well, that's the same thing that we've heard from other people that came back.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, how did you feel? I said, well, not happy. And I told him, I said, why would I want to come back where there's anger, disheartening, and I need to offload myself. And I said, I didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
But I had no choice.
Yeah. And see, even that right there is what we were just talking about. I believe that people like Roger that have died, gone to heaven, and have come back, it's part of that process too, for us to see, because it's so hard for people. This is the only life we know, is the life here. And for us to have a joyful expectation of something more, we need to hear from somebody that joyful expectation. And I think that's a lot of the reason why people come back, is to share that experience so that all of us can have that joyful expectation of that as well, to take us there. Yes, you would have, because he would have sent you back to say you have to go tell them. You have to go help them see. So that's an awesome thing. So that's what I got out of this message. We just listened to a really good message, Roger. You'll have to go back and watch this again. This was very good. So you can catch up to where we were at.
And I've been having a problem with YouTube.
Oh, I'll send you the link.
That would be very, very helpful.
Okay, yeah, I'll send you the link to the program as soon as we're done so you can go back and watch it, because it's very good. So, and another thing that that was impactful for me in this message too is when he said that there's no time or room for God for many people. We've filled our life so full with other things and left God out of it. What a scary thing. Yeah. What a scary thing.
If I tried to explain the white, I tried to explain the time frame. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody has read the book in 90 minutes, and heaven has to go, I haven't. Would that be 90
actual minutes? Or would that be 90
minutes
taken
consecutive?
Because
mine only
came
like 9 hours. It's like a matter of minutes.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
That's... But I found other people that had the same experience. But to go with that, there's no way of asking them questions or comments.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm going to have to make my own YouTube.
That would be awesome, yeah.
That's probably what you're going to have to do, brother.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And then I'll share that to the testimonies page, rather than trying to do a written one. Everybody would love that. So do that, Roger. I vote. Do that.
Maybe you can write it all down and then, you know, get it exactly how you want to say it and then just read it.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
The thing is, I would have to get a hold of the granddaughter because I don't know how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, our pastor can help you know how to do it too. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if I got her phone number.
Yeah, just ask her. She's right there, right beside you. Oh, yeah, don't do it over the air. Yeah. Yeah, stay on Zoom after the program, and then you can get each other's phone numbers. How's that?
Well, you know, here's the reality of it. It's when all of us use our gifts together that this life becomes a very powerful force.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how it's done.
Everybody's
amen. Got gifts. Yeah. It's time for the great amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, where are we at? Are we getting ready to read?
I can. I have not read yet. I was saying, but I can read now.
All right. Not like that's a problem that very many women have, that they're still talking.
Most of our cooking too.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, so what I want us to do now is I want us to read Isaiah 54, the whole chapter now. Was it like 8:30?
Yes, almost 20 to 9.
All right. I got a quick bunch of verses to talk about forgetting your behind.
Forgetting your behind? Amen.
No, sit on my behind.
I had to say it so it wasn't a familiar hearing, so everybody's like, I better pay attention to this one. Okay, so I'll read Isaiah 54.
Okay.
All right, here we go. A perpetual covenant of peace. Hallelujah. Sing, O barren. You who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not travailed with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married women, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed nor disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you are refused, says your God. Verse 7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Verse 11, O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your... Amen. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Wow.
Wow. God's the teacher.
Yeah.
Jesus is the teacher.
Amen.
We have a better teacher than that.
And great shall be the peace of your children.
Right. And there's a promise for you right there.
Right there.
About your kids.
Yeah.
Jesus is teaching my kids right now. That's why I'm praying for them to have dreams and visions every night while they sleep. Jesus is their teacher. Peace.
And,
hallelujah.
And they shall have
that's
great peace.
That's
yeah.
one of them promises he was just talking about that you ought to just get up and pitch a big fit.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Wow. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coal in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go back to this, lengthen your stakes and stretch out your cords and make large ascent. And, he gave the reference of if your parent is trying to get a baby bed and sit it in the room,
Yeah.
But that baby bed is, that baby bed is a reference point of anything in your life. That's just a very simple example. Some of you are like, I ain't putting no baby bed in my house. That's I understand. But that's a simple illustration to help us understand the principle that God is using.
Yeah.
If you're not pregnant and you wanted to be, then put a baby bed there and start buying some onesies and perhaps package of diapers and some wipes. Or what's up? What is it? That's your faith. That's your faith working. And then rejoice. I remember hearing a message. Of course, I never knew Dr. Summerall, but I never heard a message by Dr. Summerall that was talked about a lot of people that said they knew Smith Wigglesworth. But he said, I knew Smith Wigglesworth. And he said, one thing I knew about Smith Wigglesworth is as soon as he woke up in the morning, he spent about 15 minutes dancing before the Lord.
Yeah.
Just rejoicing in the God of his salvation. I'm awake. It's another day. I'm here. I get to help people. I'm anointed. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been made the right. He just danced before the Lord. Well, Pastor, because I really thank God. You can hear the voice. I really thank God. Smith Wigglesworth would walk around the training, people would bob it up
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were some of the most amazing miracles anybody on this earth has ever seen. As he walked in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the message that he was preaching, which that's a powerful message, needed. I think we've actually listened to that twice already.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think more than that actually. And you still get more out of it every time you listen to it. It's great.
I was remembering jokes even on that bed.
Yeah. I was thinking that his bad dad jokes were really good. I stopped myself before I actually said they were very funny.
It doesn't sound like you stopped yourself at all.
Yeah, amen.
That's the thing. It's built, it's your baby bed. So put some stuff in it. Okay, yeah. Like, Pastor, use a different illustration right now. I understand. But now let's go to the last verse. Because that's the point that I know the Holy Spirit would have me say today. And teach about tonight, and that is Isaiah 54:17.
Yeah.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Everybody just turn the mic on and say it right out loud. Everybody just do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 8. No
weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Across the internet at somebody and point your finger at them and just said, that means no weapon.
No weapon.
No weapon. Now, I like how he said it. He said, it doesn't mean that they won't be formed. You gotta count that. There will be weapons formed against you, but they will not prosper. They will stand there with it in their hand, and it'll either blow up or maybe squeeze the trigger, or it'll just have a buzz. I remember watching it on the YouTube first started. They had that video of that guy with that shoulder fired missile.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing just kind of came out the end of the weapon and just fell on the ground. And you ain't never seen two military guys run that fast in all their life, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They dropped that weapon and took off on an amazing run. They probably set land speed records that day.
Yeah.
Because it's like that thing has been fired and it landed a whole 3 feet from us.
Wow.
You know?
Turn your camera on.
Yeah, well, I can't turn my camera on.
We can have your camera off, too.
My camera will get me pulled over by the police officers. They're nice guys, but I just don't want to talk to any of them tonight.
Yeah.
We can have some thoughts, too.
All right. So, thank you, Rebecca. Yes, you guys can say that, and we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We
really
do. Now, but I want you to get this statement. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the word prosper isn't make you rich. It's not that talking about that. It means it won't explode and hurt you and do damage to you. That's the word. That statement is a military term, meaning when a weapon is fired, and the munition hits its target, that's prosperity. It is prospered. And God is saying, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper.
Hallelujah.
Then it says, every tongue witness against you in judgment, you will condemn them. Now, this is the point of this whole teaching tonight. And, oh my goodness, it took me too long to get there. The number one tongue that's going to rise against you is the tongue of the condemnation of the enemy. Now, go with me real quick to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read 1, 3, 6, 8, and 9. 1 John 3.
While we're turning there, I'd like to welcome Paul Oxy, is with us on YouTube. We're so glad to have you with us, Paul.
Good to have you with us tonight, buddy. God bless you, man. God bless you tonight. This is Isaiah chapter 54. No, 1 John 3.
1, 3, 6, 8,
and 9.
All right.
I believe those are the right verses.
Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Oh, my goodness, yeah, what an honor.
We are called the children of God.
Yeah.
Not a cute little statement that doesn't have any meaning. It means you are literally a child of God, just like Jesus is the Son. You and I are the sons and daughters of God. Do you agree?
Therefore, the world
does not interfere. Go ahead.
Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Wow.
Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin.
Verse 6,
whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen nor known him.
Verse 8 and 9.
He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Now see, this Isaiah 54:17 says, this is the inheritance of the children of the Lord, and our righteousness is from Jesus. The number one voice you and I are going to have to be, combat against is the voice of the enemy trying to remind you of sins of your past.
Yes.
And when it happens, I'll remind you the story that Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin, I studied one of his videos where he talks about it regularly. He said when the enemy started coming after him after he was first born again, and he said, I would see a picture of the wrong that I did. He said one day he asked God, what's up with that? And God said, that's just a picture, son. Just remind the devil, that's just a picture of my past. And it's already under the blood, and it has been purified, it has been purged, it has been made white as snow and washed away, and therefore it has no power over me, because I'm no longer that person. And if you will remember that short that goes with this message, he says, by the Holy Spirit, anytime you visit your past side of the blood of Jesus, you're going to be visiting a spirit of deception because you're no longer who you were when you committed that sin, whatever it was. Now, that might sound a little confusing. So let's just say you have a severe problem, a kleptomaniac, you see something sitting, and you're somebody that just picks it up and sticks it in your pocket, and you just carry it with you and can't seem to get free from the five-finger discounts. All right? You've come to God and said, forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Yeah.
You were taught by your spiritual leaders to take communion and humble yourself and say, I've sinned and I want to be free from this. And then we know that according to Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far we removed our transgressions from it. So now, if you realize our transgressions have been removed from us, they're no longer there. That means every time the picture of what you have done before in your past shows up, don't meditate in it one second. That's just a picture. No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Amen.
And that picture showing up in your mind's eye is actually words that are condemning you because of what you said or did. But as soon as you come to Jesus and say, I plead the blood, now all of a sudden, that's wiped away. That's purged. It's removed. And your sins are no longer remembered against you. Not another day. And so now you boldly proclaim and declare that that's just a picture. You don't have any power over me. And all of a sudden you realize I don't need to give my past one second of my time, no matter how bad it is. And the more, the worse your past was, the more the devil's going to want you to be focused on your past to keep you bound by your past. I know a lot of people who had a very bad past, and one of their biggest issues is to get rid of being proud of how bad they were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, every time you act that way, you take yourself into deception because Jesus actually set you free. When the Son sets free, he is free in me. When you know the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And so now that you've been set free, then be free.
Be free.
And you're going to have to take this verse of scripture, Isaiah 54:17. You're going to have to go to war with this scripture. The greatest process I have ever helped you learn to do is go to war with the Word of God. Lord, my God, Brother Jerry Spell said about Brother Copeland when he first met him, this man took a wrench. Took the word of God and used it like a wrench on a broken down car in every area of his life. And he did. And every area of his life was fixed by the wrench of God's word. This set of verses right here. No weapon. And once you're born again, every thought to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21.
Oh, that's 1 Corinthians. I was going to say, wait, there isn't a chapter 17. And there isn't in 1 Corinthians, just so everybody knows. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Keep going. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only have we been reconciled, but we're supposed to help others be reconciled as well. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Now think about it. He does not impute your sin against you. Why? Because you come to Jesus' blood and righteousness, and when you accept it, he forgives you, he purges, he cleanses, he makes you what is known. He throws it into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you another day.
Thank you, Father.
And so, what the Holy Spirit was saying through Bill Dawson is, when you allow your past, any event of your past, to come up and be large in your mind, you are meditating and fellowshipping with the spirit of deception. Think that was a sin in your past that you meditate in. Once you're covered by the blood, washed in the blood, purged by the blood, your sins are no longer imputed against you. You go back and meditate in that. It's now going to take you to the spirit of deception because you no longer are what that image is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer that person. So it's deception, and it's going to lead you astray. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Master, I can't believe I actually did that thing. I know. In the back of that Peter fell, Jesus told him, you're going to betray me 3 times? And he's like, no, I won't. I'll kill them all. And the rooster goes. And Peter's like, uh-oh. I was really bold and braggadocious by Jesus.
And then this, yeah.
All right, and so, but what we got to realize is, Jesus expected him. Jesus knew it was going to happen. And what did he say to Peter? When you return, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew he would return. Even though he was ashamed, even though he was sad, even though he probably walked around for days saying, you stupid. You know we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever done. Well, you're right, it is. But God doesn't want you to stay in that's the stupidest thing I've ever done for 1 minute.
Yeah.
He wants you to repent of that sin, which means admit it and quit it. Admit it and quit it. And then get up and get moving.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter how how long, how many hours, how many days you spend in reeling those same things through your mind, trying to fix it. You can't go back and fix it. So sitting there reeling it through your mind is not going to do anything. You need to drop it and move on. And remember how loving our God is. Yeah, even when you think about Adam and Eve, I mean, how bad could that get? Their sin not only impacted them, but all of mankind from that point on. What a burden to have on you. But still, our God loved them so much and said, I don't want them to feel ashamed. I'll make them some clothes. And I still love you. You're going to, because you gave in to the ways of this world, that's what you're going to have to deal with. But I'll make it as easy for you as I can. And he still continued to care for them and love them and did not hold that against them, even though they impacted everything from that point on and everyone from that point on. That's an amazing love, an amazing father. Go ahead.
That's an amazing love and an amazing father. It is. And you and I, well, actually, not for a moment here, so I'm going to grab my Bible. And I'm going to give us a couple more verses here.
All right.
I don't know where Rebecca went, but did my camera go away?
Right here. Is his camera live? Can you see? No, it isn't. No, it's not. There you are.
I can see you now. No, we're not playing peekaboo.
Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse number 12, 3 verse 12, but go there quickly because we've got a lot of verses to cover in the next few minutes. For those of you who are new to this, you might be like, why is he talking to everybody like that? That's kind of a joke that we have around here. We kind of tease that way. Mm-hmm. We're not being nasty to people at all. I got a lot of verses to read, so I need to go quickly because I'm out of time. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not that I've already attained, but that the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. Or I'm already perfected, that means I'm not in heaven yet. All right? But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Remember the verse. Yeah. It says you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That verse is telling that you have been bought back. Paul right here says, I want to lay hold of that. Laid hold of me when he purchased me with his blood. You are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. So Paul says, this is the end of his life. Even though I have done all these things, I've not yet attained because I'm still here on this earth. Look what he says, 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. This is what you and I must continue. for those things which are before us. It's a process that you and I are going to have to do every single day of our life. And you've got to get this down as a pattern that you're going to use from now till Jesus comes. Like, guys, I just get tired of the war. I don't want to have this fight all the time. This is a war to the end. We're going to have to fight. I just believe peace, love, and happiness. I just want to have to. It's not here. The enemy is a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. And for those that don't want to have a battle and don't want to have a fight, you're going to be the first one to be devoured. What? Because the enemy always preys on the weak and the lame. Or the rebellious. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to realize you are in a fight till the day you go to heaven. Is it going to get easier? Yeah, because you're going to become more confident in God. But it's not going to take away the fight.
Amen.
It's not going to take away the fight. You are going to have to fight every day of your life and believe God that you can win. Let's keep looking at what Paul said here. I got to keep going back and forth. So my camera's going to go on and off, but it'll be all right. 13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forward to those things which are before you. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandma, you're a grandpa, maybe you're just a brother and an uncle. You don't even have kids of your own. Doesn't matter. Everybody's watching you. And you and I've got to be the example of pressing toward the mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that is, watch me continually crush this enemy, and I will help you see where I'm at. I will help you go where you need to go. And you'll get this mission accomplished in the things of God. See, you're going to have to fight. Let's keep reading. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this same opinion, have this mind, and if anything should be otherwise minded, God will reveal even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us keep attained by. Say with me, I press toward the mark.
I press toward the mark for the upward call of God. We can read the whole chapter.
We have time on Saturday night.
It's quarter after 9.
I got a quick question.
All right.
Was Paul crucified the opposite way that Jesus was crucified?
No, that was Peter. That was Peter. He said the last thing that Paul saw Paul was the Roman centurion in his sandals. And the next thing he saw was Jesus' nail sharp feet in his sandals.
Wow. Wow.
That's
what
I thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Here we go. On Isaiah 43, Sister Leanne is going to take off and read this. And head right now up to new verse number 19.
All right. The Redeemer of Israel. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the waters, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. You were precious in my sight.
Amen, amen, amen.
You have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not. For I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may be known and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. The Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember, this is verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Now, I want you to think about this. I can see that the Holy Spirit is telling me to deal with two very specific things. Failure. Because the enemy wants you to meditate in the death of a loved one and the spirit of grief to kill you. And the other battle he's going to fight against you, that's going to be a very, probably one of the most severe battles, will be your failures of your past. And that can be, it's your fault you got divorced, your business went bankrupt. It's your fault, and then say whatever, your whole family's offended at you, because you lied about the arrogance, and you can just call this fool, and tell you were just lied about the arrogance. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that have been doing really good that just admit, I'm hard, I'm harsh, I'm crass, and nobody likes me. I am going to change to become a loving person. They say, no, I'll just tell them like this. No, you're hard, you're mean, you're crass, and nobody wants to be with you because of that. Now, maybe you didn't fail in your marriage, but you still lost it. Maybe you did everything you possibly knew how to do in business, and you still failed and had to file bankruptcy. Maybe you tried everything you could in your physical, human, spiritual strength and 50,000 other people with you to keep somebody alive, and they still went to heaven. There's nobody who fought harder to keep his wife alive than Bill Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The whole church, I mean, there's probably half a million people around the world praying for her to live and not die. Books about healing in community. Pastor, what in the world? We've got if somebody like that will stay alive because you don't know the other side of that, but you don't know the other half of the story.
Yeah.
And we watched Bill Johnson himself in June of this year stand triumphantly and give glory and praise to God just like that video right there. Done it himself. He has done it himself. And so, you know, I've got to realize that we got to fight this battle. So we can win. It matters whether you were right or wrong, whether you were sinned with innocence, whether you prayed for somebody who lived and they still died or not, you cannot change this factor. And our enemy is going to do anything in his power to kill you in any way that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to turn there, but let's just add the verse to the verse where it says, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So any of that that's happened in your life, you gotta just get real bold and say, that's the thief. And then you get one and say, Jesus, come and take me life and life more abundantly. I will not let the enemy kill me, steal me, or destroy me.
Amen.
And see, that's what the enemy wants to have happen in our lives, because he doesn't want you to become successful and actually have a testimony that you are defeating it and his power. He doesn't want that in any sense of the word. But it doesn't matter. You and I get to win that victory, and so we've got to win the victory. But the way you're going to do this, you've got to start making a declaration, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You've got to stop meditating in failures, in that weakness, in that death, in that bankruptcy, in that divorce, in that whatever it is. Because that happened yesterday, or 10 years ago, or maybe 50 years ago. Stop meditating. Stop acting like the childish person you was back then that caused you to
Amen.
That's my head statement. Oh, wow. Yes, I don't know what it means. It was something that he said all the time. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get past. Especially in Sedimento. No matter how much you meditate in the past, you cannot change it. And the longer you meditate in it, the worse it gets. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
The longer you meditate in it, the worse it gets. I'm going to start to get some real feedback on my end. Can you get everybody's mic for a minute?
Sure.
I'm not sure what that's all about, but... Did that mute me too or no?
Nope.
You can still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you, whatever that was, we're not muted. You might be on the internet. I keep getting feedback somewhere. I don't know what that is all about. Now, look at verse 18. Do not remember the former things. If it's a person, now you got to hear me. I'm saying this with the greatest of love and compassion. It doesn't say forget the people. How do you forget your mom or dad who you love? But if they're gone, they're gone. Meditating in the fact that you wish they were still with you does not bring them back and bring them with you.
Right.
Their voice is not ever going to be said to you again. If it's a divorce, and that person is gone, and they're doing a whole different thing. You're not going to hear that voice again. If they remarried, you're not going to go there. And it comes to the point where you got to finally say, God, help me be where I am today, move where I'm planning today, and make the rest of my life a good life. It ain't been from anybody.
Amen.
You see what it says? Do not remember the former things. And then he's like, let me say that a little more powerfully. Do not consider the things of your past. Don't even consider them. Now, Pastor, you don't know what it's like. I know what there's a whole bunch of stuff it's like. But you know why you don't know what I know what it's like? Because I'm not going to meditate in it. Why? There ain't no life in it.
Right.
There ain't no life in it at all. There's no life in it. So you got to let go of it. The Lord said, I am doing a new thing. When is God doing a new thing?
Am. That means now.
I am. That's the great I am. I am doing a new thing right now. I am is present progressive. Right now, I am doing it and I will continue. Well, you don't get to enjoy the new thing if you don't let go of the old thing.
Amen.
I saw the guy did it from that. He walked the other side of the platform and said, I heard a great man once say, you don't get to enjoy the new thing until you let go of the old thing. And he was the great man that just made the same statement. God is the only one that gives us the ability to say, well, that didn't work. That was a mess. That shouldn't have been. Let's keep moving. Ready to have the harlot? Who was Solomon's mother? Pause for a moment. So everybody think. Wait, what did he just say? Who was Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba. Well, why are you bringing her up, Bath? Because that was a horrible sin between David and Bathsheba. Solomon, the second son of David and Bathsheba, made him the next king, who is the richest of all kings of his era, and the wisest of all men in his era.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pastor, does that mean I can just go do whatever I want, that's stupid? And God's going to turn it around? No. 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 Whatever you do, don't go do something that's stupid. Do everything in your power to do what's right and be found in the things of God every single day. Don't ever let another person, no matter how evil or wicked they are, no matter how bad they treat you, no matter how bad the things are in your life, don't ever let another person cause you to ever do something to go against the blessing of Almighty God in your life. Don't
Amen.
Ever let another person do or say anything to you that's going to cause you to do something to violate the beautiful love and blessing and blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I can tell, I got people tonight saying, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. Well, I don't know what you're trying to get me to say, I don't know. If you only know how many people have deserted me in the ministry, I can tell you a lot of stories of people who promised to stand beside me and then deserted me. And not only deserted me, but when they left, talked against me and said bad things against me, said things I never did. I know what it's like to be divorced. I did experience divorce on one day. I know what it's like to lose your dad. My dad's my dad losing. He's in heaven. I don't know what else you're up to. I've lost my business before. I know what it's like bragging. I'm not bragging. I know what loss looks like. I know what it feels like. I know what betrayal feels like. I remember waking up one morning and I couldn't breathe. I had to run out on the back porch and just get a bigger breath of air because I was being suffocated in my bed. I know what it's like. Well, I also know that it's those set of verses in Philippians chapter 3, and these set of verses in Isaiah 43 that caused me to overcome and not have a bitter heart. Say it with me. Father, help me overcome.
Father, help me overcome.
And not have a bitter heart.
And not have a bitter heart.
And not let grief destroy me.
And not let grief destroy me.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Now, I want you to look at Isaiah 43:21. I'm telling you, oh, Jesus, help them to see tonight, Holy Spirit. Help me to say this in a way that every person who is within the sound of my voice tonight, tomorrow, or even during the 7 years of tribulation, that they'll take the courage to fight, Lord. To realize that their righteousness comes from you. Jesus, help me. I don't condemn you in any way, but I am definitely challenging you to step up and enjoy the life that God wants you to enjoy.
Amen.
Verse 21, Isaiah 43:21. The people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. The people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my verse 25 and 26.
my own, for my own sake. Look at this next statement. I will not remember your sins. How serious of a promise is that to you and me? I will not remember your sins. That ought to make me shout glory in itself right there. Thank you, Father. You won't remember our sins. Put me in remembrance. Please listen to this verse. Put me in remembrance. Let us can stand together. State your case that you make me acquitted. Pastor, how are you going to do that with God? You're going to just make the declaration. Father, by the blood of Jesus, I stand before you clean today. And he's going to say, yes, you do. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 16. And we're going down through verse 20. Can we get a big amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca.
The good amen.
Thank you, Roger. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Peace. To do evil. You know that complaining is evil? That griping is evil? That meditating in the past is evil? That continually remembering how bad a sinner you were was, that's evil? When Jesus has washed you and made you white as snow, that's not evil. That's where God wants us to live. Evil. 17, learn to do good. You're going to have to learn to do good. Once Jesus makes you a new creation, old things are passed away, all things become new. It'll be much easier for you to do good. Then he tells us assignments. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. 18, look at this first. Come on. Study with me. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts. Let us reason together. Come now, when? Right now. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, shall be as white as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it in Jesus' mighty name.
Boy, that is a scary thing if you refuse and rebel. And how many are doing that now? Wow.
See, I don't think some people realize that when you meditate in the past, that's what you're doing is refusing and rebelling. Pastor, don't call me a rebellious person. I don't like that. Well, I'm not calling you rebellious. Your actions are proving you to be rebellious. I'm just reading the fruit on a tree. Well, you better stop nevering. And you better start doing, because here's what happens when you never. When you make that statement, you're like, well, who do tell me when I'm done. You know, I didn't tell you to tell me anything. I'm teaching, and the Holy Ghost just showed it to me. And therefore, you know, I've got to look at it and say, I better get some things changed in my life. Griping, complaining, fearful, and unbelieving are all the characteristics of those who land in the lake of fire. Yes, I just want you to preach and make me feel good. The problem is I can't make you feel good when your actions are going the wrong way. I got to, as I'm closing verses, I'm okay. I pulled you out of the fire saying, wait a minute. That action is not going to produce for you the victory or the human emotional release that you're looking for. And you and I are not to be the ones that stand before God and say, God, help.
Amen.
You forget the things of my past and keep moving in you. 18, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. God wants you to reason with him. Just don't be disrespectful when you do. When you hear disrespect coming out of your mouth, I got a word for you. I don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing, and if you are obedient, you will eat the good of land. And what's the good of the land? No more fear, no more confusion, no more loneliness, no more pain. Wow, I can just see it. Isn't that something? Isn't that just something? I was talking about this earlier. I can tell that tonight, right now, some of you think I'm picking on you. I don't even know who you are, so how can I pick on you? Pastor, you're calling off the very thing and give me the most trouble. Well, how do I know what's causing somebody trouble? I don't know. All I can do is speak by the Spirit of God and hopefully cause you to say, wait a minute, I've got to change. I've got to change. God just said right there, Jesus said by the Holy Spirit through Paul, or through Isaiah, come now. When does he want you to reason together with him?
Now.
God is a now God, right now. Let's reason together. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land.
Thank you, Lord.
Your camera's off.
Yeah, not only my camera, but everybody just hold tight. I got one of them, you know, update things. You believe it is trying to update right now while we're at it. All right. Almost back. There we go. All right. Now, I've got to be done. You'll be devoured by the sword of the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, Pastor, please encourage me. Because right now, I just feel bad about how I'm acting. I know. Go with me to 1 John. Thanks, I'm going to find you guys here in just a minute somewhere. Where did you go? Where did you go? Oh, where did my Isn't that like a nursery rhyme or something?
Do you want me to do you?
Is that another one of them dumb nursery rhymes? There we go.
It sort of was, but not the way you were saying it.
First John chapter 1. Is that where I told to go, First John 1?
You just said First John.
Yeah, First John chapter 1. And let's go to verses 7 through 9, which is the end of this chapter. First John 1. Watch. What? Oh, look at this. Look at this. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. God lives within me. And he is light.
Therefore I walk in the light.
See, people, somebody just said, yeah, but Pastor, God is so far out in heaven that how do I know if he ever hears me? No, he is not far out in heaven. I have sent you now to the beautiful islands with a cassette player and 5 cassettes of my messages, and it's all you get to do. He's not out there. He lives inside of you. Yeah, but I did wrong. It doesn't matter. Have you been born again? Yes, I've been born again. Then he lives inside of you. Yeah, but I did wrong. It doesn't matter. He's on the inside of you. You just drug him through it. But he didn't go away. Just please listen to me. The light of God's word. What you gotta see? If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, and where is his light? It's in you. Then it says, we have fellowship with one another. So you and God, and you and us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. That word is actually purge from all sin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Never to be remembered against you another day. But the enemy is going to remind you of it. And he's going to make you think that's your thought. No, it is not your thought. Of the seed of God is not your thought. Well, Pastor, it's going through my mind. Don't well, Pastor me, or I'll call well, Pastor you right for the good self. God is now in charge. God is the king. You've been made a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. But it seems in you. We just read it a few minutes ago. We confess our sin. Some of you have got to confess the sin of living in your past, living in condemnation, living being a griper and a complainer. You got to confess it as a sin.
That does not mean to go on Facebook or YouTube or rent time on a TV station and say to the whole world, I've done all these things wrong. That's not what that's meaning.
So, I'm the one that sees these out there. Why don't you tell us so it won't be a phone that you're hearing? What does that mean?
That means you go to God and say, I have done these things and I repent. Forgive me. I didn't want to do these things and I don't want to ever do it again. I repent.
And that means you do that on Zoom at night when we go live?
No.
Well, maybe a little more clear for me. I'm missing this.
You go to God in prayer. Just the two of you. Immediately.
Oh, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, immediately. Now, my concern is that you said that. They're blessed, you go immediately.
Better late than never.
Yeah, you know, amen.
You know, here's the reality of this. Because God can get this seriously, guys. In the end time, the touch is going to come so strong. If you're not careful, you're going to begin to feel. You're going to begin to feel. You'll call it a strength. If it passes into strength, when I'm in the past, and I'm thinking about all the things that happened, and it's just the strength that comes. No, that's a demonic spirit that comes at you.
Yeah.
I know families that have fallen that they as soon as they start losing that feeling of horror that came upon them the day their loved one was killed, as soon as they start that feeling and they're off to get another tattoo, they don't want to ever forget the pain. There's going to come a time where your body's completely covered with tattoos, and you're going to have to come to the understanding that God doesn't want you to have any more pain.
Amen.
He bore that pain so you didn't have to.
Amen.
He carried your grief and your sorrow so that you didn't have to.
Where'd you go?
I just have to check. I keep checking my app here.
So we lost you for a minute.
Now, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. All right? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. John is writing this so that we will not sin. They didn't help me teach this so people can get it. John is writing this to the world that sins. And then it says, anyone sins. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, he sins. Well, who's our advocate? Jesus Christ, who is the righteous. Is our advocate. Jesus Christ, who is the righteous, is our advocate. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my advocate. Now, it got to be done because it's time to receive communion. And we've got to be going on here. I don't know if you can tell, but I can still preach on this subject right here for quite a while yet, because I want you to get it. Please, oh my, please allow me opportunity to help you be set free from the pain, the fear, the loss, the death, the whatever it is that has happened in your life. Please allow me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to help you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Pray this with me. Those of you that's with me, pray right out loud. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Help me to never complain again.
Help me to never complain again.
For the rest of my whole life.
For the rest of my whole life.
Show me every time, Lord, that it's a very horrible sin.
Show me every time, Lord, that it's a very horrible sin.
and that you have set me free from it.
And that you have set me free from it.
And have given me life and life more abundantly.
And have given me life and life more abundantly.
Life more abundantly.
I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Lord, I choose to walk with you.
Lord, I choose to walk with you.
Night and day.
Night and day.
Please help me to see the enemy's attack.
Please help me to see the enemy's attack.
And never allow it to have another day of my life.
And never allow it to have another day of my life.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go to verse number 23. And we'll receive our communion elements together. While you're turning there, I would encourage you. Remember this. I say it often. Don't just give these words, these messages that we teach. Don't give them a familiar hearing. You're like, man, well, I've heard pastors say this before, and I'm just going to shut this thing off. And then I'm just going to go to my own thing tonight. But you become familiar with these resident saints. Father, help me get this so that I can help other people get it. And we can see people's lives changed and transformed forever.
Amen.
You got to get this. So open your Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Let's just pause for a minute. Pray, Father. Jesus said with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus. With fervent desire, we desire to receive these communion elements with you. And to see and know and understand who you are.
Amen.
To a greater degree than we've ever understood it before. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the verses of the scripture. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Give you a couple minutes of instruction. We'll receive our communion elements together. That's the assignment God's given us to do. And here we go. Let's enjoy this together. Father, thank you for your wonderful presence.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often, I love these verses, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not judge. I love those verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so honor we Jesus' mighty name. Perfect love Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you might say, Pastor, how does this work? Well, in the old days, the church said if you hadn't become a member, you couldn't receive communion. And I think the purpose behind that was to get you to make sure you were born again. Because you don't want to receive the communion unless if you haven't been born again, because they belong to the body of Christ. And until you become a member of the body of Christ, you don't want to be receiving the communion element. So we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, do it now. And if you've never been born again, become a Christian. Any kind of mistake that you've heard, pray the prayer. Pray it now. And in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Because we know how to lead you in the prayer of salvation. Ready for this with me, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And I've made a pretty big mess of things. And I need your help to straighten it all out.
And I need your help to straighten it all out.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day, just for me. I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love.
Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. That's the first time you pray that prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, on the inside, the greatest transformation you've ever experienced is going on right now. Why? Because Jesus, his name is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, his name is filled you with all of himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you might say, what do I do now, Pastor? Well, first of all, just enjoy it. Spend the next month every day saying, God Almighty just filled every part of my being. God Almighty, just say it all day long. God Almighty has just filled me with himself. God lives on the inside of me. And all of a sudden, it's going to become such an amazing revelation that it's going to spill over into every part of your life. Why? Because you've come to the reality, to the realization, God lives within me. Thank you, Jesus, that you live within me. And you know what? son. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it fills every part of your life. Because that revelation will not come out of your head, and it will get out into your being. God lives in you. And then it's going to transform everything. Where there was failure, there won't be failure. Where there was confusion, there will be understanding. Because God now lives within you. Want to say it? God now lives in me.
God now lives in me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. Why? Because you want to stay connected to us. We can help you walk with God. But not if you don't stay connected. Some of you have made many statements about, I'm not ever going to be in church. I'm not ever going to be a part of a church. And you're going to have to overcome those statements. Because those are words. And words have power. And you're probably going to have to pass those words down many times and cause yourself to be here and be a part of what we're doing. Because this is what gives you, this is the victory that overcomes the world. And you gotta, everybody's gotta get themselves in a place where they're willing to learn from someone else who's been in the kingdom, if that's God's way. And Paul said, my son Timothy, these things which I've committed to you, you commit the faithful men that will be able to teach others also. See, as Paul, number one. You had Timothy, number two. You had faithful men, that's number three. And you had others also, which is four layers deep in the kingdom. That's how God views the kingdom, four layers deep. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, right? Let's receive our communion elements together. You can always go back every day and study this same video and receive communion with us. And I'm going to come out at the same time in the video every day. If this message really ministered to you, mark it. Hit the share button. Send it to yourself in an email. Send it to yourself in a text or instant message. You can actually instant message yourself. And then you'll always have this. But note it, listen to this message every day. I love the communion in this service. And then just go back there, put a timestamp in, so as soon as you come back to the video, you can find your comment and go right to that timestamp. And it'll stick you right here in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's bless our elements, and then we'll receive them together. Close your elements up and pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing and nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And around the world, wherever you send us.
And around the world, wherever you send us. In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
You endured the pain, so we don't have to. You endured the shame, so we don't have to. And we thank you for it. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Bring this with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I thank you for it, Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where
I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
The accuser of the brethren has no more power in my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his blood.
All the blood of Jesus. washes white as snow.
For 1 hour of faith, I'm calling Russ out. Let's go ahead and
Father, in Jesus' name.
We reap every soul into the kingdom right now tonight.
We reap every soul into the kingdom right now tonight.
And we declare they understand tonight's message.
And we declare they understand tonight's message.
And it transforms their life.
And it transforms their life.
We declare the spirit of condemnation is broken in Jesus' name.
We declare the spirit of, what was it?
Condemnation.
Yes.
Is broken.
It's broken.
It's broken. In their lives tonight.
In lives tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Why are we going to say that one, Pastor? Because we don't want anybody to be condemned by what we said. We want you to be encouraged and be built up. All right, you ready? Play this with me. Play. Everyone have a good night's sleep.
Everyone have a good night's sleep.
And sleep deep.
Sleep deep.
And have many dreams and visions.
And have many dreams and visions.
And answers from God tonight.
And answers from God.
That when I received a hundredfold return,
I received a hundredfold
return
that belongs to me because I preached the gospel tonight.
That belongs to me because I helped preach the gospel tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Is that something that gets I preached the gospel tonight because you did. You helped us preach the gospel. And God.
Well, then, God.